You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to welcome Michael J. Murphy back to the show. Michael is an award-winning director, producer, political activist, and acting president of the Coalition Against Geoengineering. As an independent reporter and community organizer, his work includes directing and co-producing the groundbreaking documentaries which have awakened millions to the environmental threats of geoengineering programs called Why in the World Are They Spraying? And What in the World Are They Spraying? He's also the president of the Coalition Against Geoengineering. You can find out more on his website and get his films at www.whyintheworldarethespraying.com and www.truthmediaproductions.us. And he'll repeat those at the end of the show and anything else that is needed. So let's welcome Michael back to the show now. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Lance. Good to be on. And as always, thanks again for covering this issue. Very important topic and a very vital time for our movement. So, again, really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I keep waiting for the 100th monkey effect for people to get it, but I still see people out there brainwashed by the idea that there are contrails, vapor trails, and that chemtrails don't exist. So I had a guest on the show about 6 years ago who said he doesn't even talk to people like that. He says there's no point. They're just in their own mindset, and their beliefs are shaped by the programming that's being generated by those who are keeping this black ops secret.
Yeah, you know, there is a large segment of the population still in the clouds, no pun intended, but aren't able to see this. However, we're getting really close, and I came across a study that was, I believe, overviewed by geoengineer David Keith, and it was about the worldwide percentage of people who were aware of the issue. And global awareness at the time of this, it was about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it was 8%. And based on the exponential growth that we've seen in the movement, especially after we released What in the World Are They Spraying, and especially after Why in the World Are They Spraying, those films reached out to millions of people, it really kickstarted, was a catalyst for the movement to grow. So I think we're very close to 10%. Now, a good stat to talk about is 10% in critical mass. And critical mass is defined as the percentage of a population that becomes aware of an issue, the percentage that is needed to make your issue known to the masses. So once you hit 10%, 10% is considered that critical mass, and the issue spreads like wildfire. So that is the 100th monkey, and we're very, very close. Now, we've had a lot of circumstances in the movement, a lot of people come in, some co-opting, some diversions, all of these things, but still, the movement is continuing to grow exponentially, and I think within the next month or two, we're going to see the dynamics dramatically change. So that's very good news.
Yes, that is good news. And also, you know, it's as if our biological need to preserve ourselves has been shut off, because this is really a life and death issue. It is affecting, it has the potential to kill us, for one thing. And at some point, I probably will ask you what the composition of the chemtrails has been found to be. And I know that there has been bacteria and nanotechnology and all radiation and all kinds of strange things are in the chemtrails. And I'm also wondering if they're different in different places. I've read accounts where some people are sprayed and they're like cobwebs hanging on trees, and so other places the chemtrails are black. So, I mean, It's a global phenomenon, so I'm just wondering if the same materials are being sprayed all over the world, or if they just adjust them as they feel they need to keep us dumbed down.
I think yes and no. And there, by putting different aerosols into the sky, a lot of different objectives can be met. For instance, you had mentioned black trails. People are seeing black trails. Well, I just came across documentation of U.S. military, the Navy, and also I believe it was NASA, talking about putting black carbon into our skies. And black carbon can build clouds. It can dissipate clouds. So it's definitely been done. They put it into tornadoes. So this is documented. No question about it. Now, in What in the World Are They Spraying? We covered the aluminum, and geoengineers proposed spraying 10 to 20 million tons of toxic aluminum into our sky. They said it was for the stated goal of cooling the planet. So the idea is dispersing, putting a layer of aluminum, shrouding the planet in this toxic soup of aluminum. And the idea is that it's lightweight, so it will stay up in the sky long, but also reflective, so it will reflect sunlight back into space. And you'll notice, like on a nice warm day, you're enjoying the sun, and all of a sudden, oh man, the planes came. They keep on spraying back and forth, creating a cloud cover. It gets really cold, you know, or the temperature will drop about 7 or 8 degrees. However, at night, the aerosols are still up there. They trap heat. So we've found NASA studies and a lot of university studies that indicate that these programs actually warm the planet. We've seen nighttime highs come up considerably since these programs have probably gone into full-scale deployment. But, you know, you spoke about cobwebs. You know, there are things beyond geoengineering that objectives that can be met by putting different things into our atmosphere. For instance, there has been discussion of vaccination, believe it or not, putting vaccinations into our sky in the form of aerosols. Cobwebs, we don't even know what that is. You know, there's a lot of speculation. Clifford Carnicom did a lot of research on cells. You know, he's finding blood cells that he believed were coming down from the trails. So, again, I think there's a lot of biological implications. My area of specialty is primarily the geoengineering, and beyond that, you know, just if you look at the geoengineering side, these programs are, I believe, the most damaging programs and things, the most damaging things that have been done to our planet in the planet's history, just based on the damage that they have done, you know, over a short period of time. So it's very concerning.
Right, right. And don't the chemtrails work in conjunction with HARP, which heats up the upper atmosphere and can cause tornadoes? And in fact, Fukushima is said to be have been created by a HARP pulse.
Yes.
So, yeah, they have they work in conjunction with other exotic programs. And so I've heard that there are wars going on with various factions, and they can simply target one of the other groups that they don't want around, and you know, nobody is the wiser, really, except that the people that know what's going on. Because, you know, who would suspect that the weather was manipulated and had been created on purpose?
Exactly. And there was a treaty, actually, in the 70s. It was called the ENMAD Treaty, and it was formed so that countries would not use weather warfare against each other.
Yeah.
Here's the kicker, though. There's an exemption on this, and the Edmond Treaty, countries can use weather control over their own land. So, and why in the world are they spraying, getting back to your talking about the aerosols and how they relate to the HARP system, it's what they can do. If we go back to geoengineers and what they're spraying, it's mostly aluminum oxide, or we believe mostly aluminum oxide. We're finding it in rain tests in thousands of times the normal amounts. Around the world. Well, aluminum, geoengineers say, oh, it's very reflective, it's lightweight. What we found, it's also a very effective conductor. So you'll notice right ahead of huge storms, we'll see the planes back and forth, building this canopy. What they have the ability to do, whether it's HARP technology, RF technology, microwave radiation, they have the ability to heat up that metal. And when the metal heats up, what it does, it creates a low-pressure vacuum. It lifts up. And in the lifting, that's when it creates the low-pressure vacuum. And, of course, you can steer storms into low pressure or into certain regions or out of certain regions. So that's one use that, you know, the HARP system can be. What we're seeing now, and what's very interesting, we're seeing this polar vortex, right, outside of California. So the jet stream that should be coming right into California, bringing moisture and also, you know, warmer weather, what it's doing, it's being diverted up into the Arctic region. Now, I just released an article, and it's very important. If you have pens to the audience, please write this down. Very important article. It's called Geoengineering and the Deliberate Melting of the Arctic, I'm sorry. And I'll get back to that in 1 second. But what they're doing, they're diverting all of this weather into the Arctic. It's rebounding. So right now I'm in Chicago, and I've been here for a while. We've had very wet and very cold weather. It was a very cold winter last winter. I wasn't here, but throughout the summer, and it's been very wet as well. So they're diverting the jet stream up into that region. It's coming down, bringing all of this weather. What it's doing, it's drowning out California. A couple of reasons, I believe, because these people that call themselves the elite through Agenda 21, what they're doing is privatizing water. There's a company called Bechtel. Bechtel owns 82% of the privatized water. So through public-private partnerships, when water is scarce, that's when the government comes in with corporations and says, hey, we have to control this. And if you listen to people like in the Council on Foreign Relations, there's been things that have been spoken about that these people have their eyes on water as a resource and they want to control it. And that's what they're doing, I believe, largely in California. And I believe it has to do with vegetation as well. And we covered in Why in the World Are They Spraying? The consolidation of power. If you can control the weather, you can control the food supply. If you control the food supply, you can control everybody, every person on the planet. That's what they're going for. In California, in the Central Valley used to grow about 4 years ago 50% of the fruits and vegetables that the United States consumed. Well, through Agenda 21 and through the Endangered Species Act, they cut the water off to the farmers in the Central Valley, or to a lot of them, sourcing the Delta smelt being, you know, close to extinction. That put a lot of farmers out of business. Now, you engineer a drought in that area, the farmers start to go out of business. What happens? Well, the United States, again, 50% of the fruits and vegetables that region produced for the U.S., it's not producing it anymore. So the United States is forced now to get their fruits and vegetables from a global economy. And if we look at the political agenda, it is to create global governance. And that makes us interdependent with countries, and thus yet one more excuse to build a global government body, and a UN body to monitor this transaction. Geoengineering programs, geoengineer state, whose hand would be on the thermostat? Well, I think most would agree it should be God, the hand of nature, but geoengineer state, because these programs give man godlike power, that they will have to form a global body to oversee this. So yet another excuse to go ahead and create global governance. But very important article, because we're looking at the Arctic and how it relates geopolitically and how it relates to geoengineering programs. And I know there's a debate whether it's melting right now, and I think some of the ice came back. No question about it, though. The ice had melted in a while, had melted for a while. And if we look back to the 70s, there was a scientist named Stephen Schneider. And the Schneider guy had stated and really sounded the horn using what I call fear tactics, telling people that we are entering into an ice age. So in order to avoid this ice age, he proposed a couple of things to stop the ice age. This was back in the 70s. He said, to stop it, we're going to have to spray black soot over the ice. We could also detonate nuclear bombs. We could destroy the ozone by spraying chlorine above it. Well, guess in my article, I contain pictures of the Arctic ice. It looks like a paved highway. That's how black it is. Black soot all over it. No question about it. There had been 123 nuclear bombs detonated in the Arctic region, some underneath the water. Of course, that heat melts the ice. 120, they said, we aren't doing it to melt the ice. We did it, you know, for mapping other peaceful, you know, activities. And then we have a huge ozone hole above the Arctic region. Nobody knows why it's there. Well, what it turns out, there are a lot of resources. And right now, the U.S. government with Russia and Japan, they all have their militaries up there. And they're jockeying for who's going to be the superpower up in that region. Why? They're interested in a couple of things. Between 13 and 23% of the undiscovered world's oil supply is below that ice. Shell oil is up there. They're now drilling. Wouldn't be able to drill if the ice hadn't melted. Now, I think some of it's coming. And shipping lanes. So right now, U.S., Russia, and Japan are fighting over who's going to control those shipping lanes. So not only is there geopolitical and monetary agenda to get to melt that ice, but also there's the ability to do it. And, of course, we spoke about, again, that polar vortex, which is bringing warm air up into the Arctic. And this has to do largely, these people are saying, okay, so they said, we're going into an ice age. We have to melt the Arctic. Well, they started melting the Arctic to get to the resources, and they said, oh, my God, the ice is melting. Oh, we have global warming, and CO2 is the cause of global warming. We have to tax you, and, yes, we have to form this global government and consolidate an enormous amount of power. That's what's going on. Let me tell you, there's a lot of debate whether the planet's warming or cooling. Let me tell you something. We don't know what it's doing. We do not know what it's doing because they are geoengineering, no question about that. And that changes our temperatures, and that is what climate change is about. It's about geoengineering. And until they stop, we can't even get accurate temperatures. So based on that alone, this CO2 global warming is the biggest fraud perpetuated on every human being, on every living thing on the planet. No question about it. Until they stop geoengineering, then we'll sit down and talk. But we are looking at, you know, Al Gore just proposed, he's putting together a proposal for $90 trillion to remove automobiles from every major city so people do not drive anymore, so everybody's forced onto public transportation. It's going to be complete control. That's what it's about. It's about complete control. And global
government. Yep. Well, that's pretty much the New World Order agenda, although they're probably renaming it as something else because it's gotten to be so well known. But it's a one world government, and they're going to roll the religions and everything into it. So, and as you said, Agenda 21 is a really vile proposal, and it would have people living in stacked apartment buildings on the coastlines. And of course, where does the water come up when there's a tidal wave? On the coast. So I wouldn't want to be living on the coast when they set off some kind of device to, you know, wash everybody away. Then they say, oh boy, we've got the United States now, we've got this place, it's Disneyland, it's ours, we own it, you know, let's have some fun.
So. Yeah, and let's forget about, you know, a lot of people shrug at this and say there's not a depopulation agenda. You better believe there is.
Oh, absolutely there is. There's no question about it. And it's assaulting us from every different direction. It's hitting us at so many different levels, from vaccinations to babies, fluoride in the water, nanotechnology, irradiating vegetables and meats. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. And, you know, you can tell because the quality of life has dropped so dramatically and their ability to think is critically impaired.
Yes, you better believe that. So, yeah, it's a big concern of ours. And, you know, a lot of people are unaware, and I'm really kicking into high gear. Before, I wasn't touching the global warming issue or this issue of carbon taxing. Until I realized I believe it's the key to getting geoengineering stopped. And the reason is this. Okay, they're sourcing the Arctic melting as being proof of CO2. That's a lie. Mm. We You don't know if the planet's warming or cooling because of geoengineering. There is climate change. They're sourcing the adverse weather conditions. That's a complete lie. The adverse weather conditions, no question about it, is due to geoengineering. I've been to geoengineering conferences. Geoengineers spoke, and I've studied how aerosols impact the way that clouds form in the way that weather forms, and it will create droughts in certain areas, floods in other areas, exactly what we're having. If you haven't seen What in the World Are They Spraying, please see that, and Why in the World Are They Spraying, and I think it will be very evident that these programs have been started and they're in full-scale deployment. So how they can say climate change is due to CO2, that's completely ridiculous when these programs have been in full-scale deployment for almost 20 years and probably beyond, and when they definitely have melted the Arctic ice. But here's my concern. My concern is this. Over 500 climate laws are scheduled to go into effect in 2015. That's this year. Obama right now has put a climate re-education committee together. It's, I believe there are 13 mayors and governors who have teams that are going out to local municipalities to, quote-unquote, re-educate them on this agenda. And my concern is I've looked over some of the laws and I've been briefed on some of them, and they all look pretty good. They're things that I would support. You know, they're cutting down pollutions, cutting down certain emissions, things that most people say, you know what, that's not too bad. That looks pretty good. However, when these are UN laws and when they get their tentacles into the local municipalities, the counties, and the states, you can say bye-bye to your sovereignty. And they strip the sovereignty.
Yeah.
And my concern is this. Once they strip the sovereignty, then incrementally, the next step is geoengineering. And geoengineers are moving very quickly to organize and implement global legislation. And again, the argument is, you know, we couldn't let a rogue country do this because, again, one region does this, it impacts another region very severely. So they say, again, we have to form a global government to monitor these programs. And that's what they're doing. And, you know, it's very concerning to those of us who are following this closely and for many different reasons. But what they're saying, you know, we had, God, millions of people on the streets a couple of months ago marching and demanding that our legislators do something to address global warming. Well, the most cost-effective and quickest thing to implement is geoengineering. So our concerns are that, again, within a year or so, they will probably try and make these illegal programs legal. And I think due to the mass awakening and due to the fact that we're so close to critical mass, they're moving very quickly to try and implement this before people wake up, and they have to. So it's a big concern. You know, people are literally marching, demanding that they get sprayed. It's ridiculous.
Oh, geez. Well, that's why we're talking on the air now, to help people understand what the real issues are and help them wake up before it's too late, because they're falling into lockstep, just like back in Germany, you know, everybody did the aisle thing, and we're pretty much falling into line with all of that. And another thing that is concerning is that those millions and millions and billions and trillions of tons of aluminum and various other elements that are sprayed, they don't stay up there forever. They have to fall to the ground. And so that means it gets into the trees, into the vegetation, into the water table, into the snow, into us. And some people have suggested that they're using, that they had such a hard time trying to get everybody microchipped, which they still have on the agenda. They want everybody, you know, to be tracked, and of course they can do that through your cell phones and this and that and the other thing, but they want the individual person absolutely tracked and monitored, and that's a two-way situation. That's not just information going out, it's information coming in too. So it's entirely conceivable that they're are working on very sophisticated ways of tracking using the aluminum and the metals that are dumping down, knowing that at some point we will have, reached some kind of toxic point and that we can be tracked. If there's nanotechnology involved, that wouldn't be, take much to activate some self-replicating nanobots, and then we will have things like, who knows what will be going on inside of us. The Morgellons disease is a good example of that kind of technology that's gone awry, and I'm sure you're familiar with Morgellons.
Yeah, Clifford Carnicom has done a lot of great research. That's really not my specialty, but, I believe it's equally as important. Getting back to in terms of being filled or, being saturated with these metals, we definitely are. And again, after we released Why in the World Are They Spraying, people from around the world started taking rain tests, again, finding the primary ingredients in geoengineering programs, that being what many people are calling the chemtrail footprint of aluminum, barium, and strontium. Some tests 50,000 times the normal amounts in certain tests. And that's very toxic, to ecosystems. We have trees dying around the world, forests dying around the world. And that's really what got Francis Mangles and other scientists involved with this when they started seeing, decrease in organic foods and the plants dying around the world. And why in the world are they spraying? We interviewed a couple of farmers, two organic farmers. One had about, I believe it was a 50% reduction in a 10-year period in their ability to grow organic foods. The other had a 70% decline in a 10-year period. And what we found an issue called abiotic stress. What is abiotic stress? Well, it's anything that stresses the soil. It's too much moisture. Drought conditions, fungal overgrowth, it's heavy metal contamination. Geoengineering creates all of this. Fungal overgrowth because it blocks out our sun. Now we have a lot of species and a lot of plants dying due to fungal overgrowth, but the heavy metal contamination and everything else. Well, what we found was Monsanto has an abiotic, stress-resistant, genetically modified seed that will grow in this new condition. So what it is, I believe it's many. There are many agendas. It's destroying our ability to grow naturally. And if we look back to our ancestors, they were dependent on natural seeds, sunshine and rain, and essentially nature. And at the end of the growing season, they would get their harvest, and there would be seeds left for the next season. Mm-hmm. Well, Monsanto has designed many of these seeds, which are called terminator seeds. They don't regenerate seeds, so the farmer has to go back year after year after year and buy these seeds from Monsanto. And what it is, based on this, and they're also genetically modifying, there's a company called Arbogen. They're genetically modifying forests. I believe this is an agenda to destroy anything that's natural. And in that death, the beast, or Monsanto and this corporate governmental conglomerate, comes up with the new design that will grow in this new environment, and they become the author of life. And that's the shift of power that all religions talk about in the end of times, and that's how it happens. So again, by destroying God's natural nature, then rebuilding it with their design, they become the author of life, and therefore become God. And I believe that is what we are seeing. Now, we have the power and ability to get these programs stopped, which hopefully at the end of the program we will talk about. But it's amazing that it's happening right before our eyes. The more amazing thing is that we're about to stop these programs, and we're very close to critical mass. So I'm excited about that.
Well, that's good news because, if it doesn't stop, the only outcome that I can see is that we're definitely on our last legs. That there won't be another generation, or the next generation will just be some kind of sickly, deformed, monster that can't live, because the genetically modified organisms destroy the organs inside, and so basically everything is being eliminated. And I suppose what that means is that they'll roll out some kind of biological technological entity that will be able to sustain itself, and then they can control it. But I really don't give a rat's ass about what they want, because they're crazy, and they're playing God, and they think they are God. And, you know, we have to wake up, and we have to stop this. And so I'm looking forward to hearing how you feel that this can occur and what people can do to take action, because I know people are frustrated about it, and they don't know what to do, because you can't go to the government. They just deny it. And so we have to take these matters into our own hands.
We do. And you know what? For the first time, we have an issue. We have a problem that affects each and every one of us on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But on the good side of it, this is something that will unite us, because we each have a common enemy and a common goal. So
mm-hmm.
the unity is something that's very important. Hawaii, we have reached critical mass. I did several screenings on the island of Maui, and within about a seven-month period, we reached critical mass on the island. As a result, we not only had public support, but we now have political support. We're moving forward with the Maui Clean Sky Ordinance, which is an ordinance that will effectively ban geoengineering on the island of Maui. However, in order to get political support, you need public support. In order to get public support, you need to reach critical mass. Now, how do we reach critical mass? Well, there are a number of things that we can do. We encourage everybody who orders a DVD, both What and Why in the World Are They Spraying, to make as many copies as you can, hand them out for free. That's what we did on the island of Maui. We handed out thousands at Earth Day. You can go to whyintheworldarethespraying.com for both DVDs. But the point is, wherever you go, you should be handing DVDs out, waking people up. We also, there are a number of websites. Go to the coalitionagainstgeoengineering.org. You can find flyers that you can print out, hand those out. We had people at town hall meetings. We also organize a screening at your library or at your hometown. Screenings have been a very effective way. Bottom line is this: each and every one of us has a sphere of influence. And for some of us, it could be 5 people. For others, it could be 5,000. For others, it could be 5 million, 5 billion. Whatever your sphere of influence is, it's important to get this message out. Because when we do that, and when we come together collectively, especially in a screening, okay, so we screen the film, there's a platform, people get excited and they start talking about how they could benefit the group in coming together and addressing this issue. And that's actually where the Clean Sky Ordinance got birthed. It got birthed at a film screening. So it's really important to get together in your community with a film. So I suggest doing that. And then once you do that, start a group to address this issue. Now, there's a group in Atlanta. I'm flying to Atlanta very early tomorrow morning. And we are going to have a protest at the Weather Channel. We're expecting several hundred people to attend. And the Weather Channel, of course, they've been covering this up. They've been, you know, completely not addressing geoengineering, the polar vortex, or the other, you know, adverse weather conditions. So we're going to go and let them know and put them on notice. And that's important as well. Bottom line is this: there's something that each and every one of us has the ability to do. We have both films available for free on YouTube. So please, you know, make copies of the YouTube and send those out to your email list, put them on your social media. The point is, we need an awakened community for an empowered community. Once we have the awakened, empowered community, then we can take effective action, and that's very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would think that the people in California, especially the farmers, would be very angry about the drought, and if they found out that it was intentionally created because of the I've seen the weather charts, and literally the stream stops right at the coast of California, and it heads up north. And I've seen this, and it's obvious, because it doesn't penetrate into California. So it's an intentional drought, and so they're killing more than one bird by doing that, you know, by melting the Arctic and also getting rid of the breadbasket, so that the organic foods that are produced in California are not there, and we have to rely on genetically modified food and food that's brought in from other places. So
that's absolutely correct. And, you know, again, it's about consolidation of power, and that's
right.
What we are after. Unfortunately, it's at the expense of everyone, of every living
everyone,
thing on
yes.
the and. We spoke about the rain test coming back and, again, being filled with aluminum, barium, and strontium. People have also been getting blood tests and hair tests. And, again, they're finding this chemtrail geoengineering footprint, again, in thousands of times the normal amounts in their blood. So this is showing up everywhere. And aluminum's very toxic, and we covered that in the first film about 4 years ago. And aluminum will bind onto different receptor sites. And as a result, you get a number of things, Alzheimer's, you get your immune system decreases, so you get cancers, and it's very hard, very difficult to remove, you know, unless you take chlorella and other things, you can definitely get out. Barium reduces our immune system, and it also, you know, on heavy spray days, I spoke with some emergency room physicians, they said our emergency room is packed. People, you know, complaining of irritability, headache, flu-like symptoms. And then because it increases blood pressure, a lot of extra heart attacks. So definitely major health concerns. The strontium is a carcinogen. And as a result, when we're inhaling these are nanoparticles. Typically, our brain has a blood-brain barrier, which will block, you know, aluminum particles. But these are about one-tenth of a micron. They go right past. So now we have people in their 40s that have Alzheimer's. I mean, it's just, there's been nothing more damaging to our health, collective
right.
our health,
right.
and from these programs.
And, of course, that rolls into Big Pharma's agenda because they're there to mop up with the pharmaceuticals. And they're getting us from every angle. And then, of course, the people who manufacture high-technology machines to analyze what's wrong and, of course, come up with a wrong answer, that's a big moneymaker there. So, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. There's no end to the level of greed and corruption and what these people will do to their fellow man. And basically, it's genocide. You know, we're talking about genocide. And whether we die slowly or whether they get rid of us in one stroke, that is on the agenda. And people can do that research and homework and find out that, yes, that is one of the things that the powers that be have on their agendas.
Genocide, and it's also ecocide because it's destroying our ecosystems around the world. So, you know, I've spoken to a lot of scientists, biologists. I said, you know, when is this going to rebound? And none of them have been able to give me an answer. Now, you know, we look at our ozone layer, deliberately shredding our ozone layer. And if you'll notice, you can feel, you know, when the sun's out, it's really hot now. Many people complain they've been getting sunburns. The UV index has gone up considerably. That's because our ozone is shredded. And you'll notice, if you look at leaves on trees and different plants, they seem to be singed and burned. And I believe it's that. And any time, and this is not my words, these are words from the geoengineers, when you put an aerosol into the sky, if you remember back in the 80s, don't spray aerosols, they deplete our ozone without question. Geoengineers say one of the consequences of our programs would be the shredding of our ozone. Now we have a major ozone hole right above the Arctic. Of course, again, I believe that they're trying to keep that melted. And again, I think the ice came back, but they are very aggressively trying to pass this legislation. And if you go back to the State of the Union address a couple days ago, Obama said that he will take dramatic action. He called climate change a national security threat. So that tells me they're planning on bypassing Congress. Obama, by the way, it's a major conflict of interest because he was on the board of a company called Climate Corp. That is a carbon trading company. Yes, they're moving very quickly. And again, I estimate the whole global warming issue, or should I say now climate change issue, is a potential multi-trillion dollar industry. So we have a monetary interest, but again, the geopolitical interest This is the issue that they are using to form the excuse for global government consolidating all of this power into the hands of the few. And if we allow it to happen, it will be very difficult to take the power back. And my concern is, if they make geoengineering legal under UN, who are we going to go to? We can't go to our elected officials in Congress. We can't go to our Senate. It's going to be out of their jurisdiction. And that is literally unconstitutional. It's against everything that the United States of America has been built upon. And my ancestors fought to form this country. I am a son of the American Revolution. And damned if I let it go on this.
Well, and my grandparents came out to California in a covered wagon from Kansas. And they were farmers and then put themselves through school and became chiropractors. But, I learned a lot about farming. And, here's something that people don't know about. The flavor of foods that are grown in fertile soil, the trees with fruits and vegetables and the rest of it, the taste is beyond belief. I mean, the food literally explodes in your mouth. It's no wonder that people don't want to eat their vegetables because there's no nutrients in them. They just put enough chemicals on the vegetables to make them look like they're mature. But they're picked green, and then they're allowed to ripen a little bit, and they taste like cardboard. So, but the flavor of real food that's grown in fertile soil is just beyond belief. And anybody that doesn't believe it should just get a little wine barrel and try growing something in it and taste the difference. And I think that there's a big movement with the permaculture movement that will also dovetail into what you're doing, because people realize that it's important to preserve the plants and the natural ecosystem. So it's all kind of coming together in different ways, but we do need to be activists. I mean, I think everybody has to become an activist now. You can't just sit back and watch the television and be told what to do. You'll be told what to do, and you'll walk off the cliff. So, if that's what people want to do, that's fine, but I don't want to do that. So, with your... have you noticed the patterns of spraying around the world? For instance, are there places where they're not spraying, where they're not allowed to spray?
Well, we found, based on my research, and this was up to about a year ago, the areas, there were a couple of areas in Africa that were not being sprayed. The skies were much bluer. But other than that, these are worldwide programs, so just about every region. And, what we're seeing out in Hawaii, okay, chemtrails is a big, word, and we really promoted that word. But we started seeing these aerosols, and they weren't in the form of trails, so we thought they were spraying off of the island, right? I live part-time on the island of Maui. But one day, my buddy Bruce started looking at satellite, and he started calling me up, and he said, okay, about 2 o'clock, we're going to have heavy aerosols. And I said, how do you know? He goes, let me show you. He started looking on satellite. In the satellite imagery that he has, it shows the reflectivity of clouds, right? So if there are aerosols with aluminum, it would show up as bright red, yellow and greenish. Well, he started seeing these anomalies, these explosions in the ocean, and, of course, they would drift over above the island. We've studied enough trails where we know what they look like. They look like a cotton candy, kind of cottony cloud that's been pulled. So we know what the aerosols look like. What they're doing is... Bruce calls them chem bombs. They actually explode, and they disperse aerosols. So we had the opportunity. We're flying back from Kauai, and we saw what they were doing off of a ship. They were dispersing these aerosols. They were going into the stratosphere, the troposphere. I'm not sure which one, but they were going very high up. So there are a number of ways to put these aerosols into our atmosphere. One thing is for sure, they want our sky saturated just about all of the time. So anytime you're breathing, you'll notice the sky now is much different than it was maybe 20 years ago. I remember it Deep Blue. It's much lighter now. It's much lighter. So the sky is definitely saturated, and I think they need that for a number of reasons. But again, you will see different types of aerosols put into our sky for different reasons. I think some of them are due to markings. So you'll see these big X's across the sky, and I think some of those are, they might be inert, you know, but they're putting those in the sky to study how the winds are, you know, and what speed they're moving at, and that allows them to mark the sky and thus engineer the storm. So I think that's mostly related to our weather control, but then we see this heavy aerosol pattern, again, before storms. They, again, heat that aerosol up. It rises, and that rising creates a low pressure. You can suck storms into certain areas, put them in others, or even divert the jet stream like we see outside of the Pacific. And then we got into some of the other things, which could be biologicals, you know, other types of human experimentation. That's really not my specialty. But again, there are many different objectives that can be achieved by putting aerosols into our sky, and there are many different ways that they put these pollutants into our atmosphere now, not only the airplane.
And I know that the Pentagon has admitted that they have printed papers on it, that they want to own the weather by a certain date, and I think they said it was 2025, but they're way ahead of the schedule on that one because, you know, it's been going on, as you said, for about, you know, 15 or 20 years. And so that is a lot of toxic waste that has already gone into the environment. And
it's owning the weather by 2025. Based on my research, they have been doing this since the 40s. Now we've gone into, and this is weather modification. So from that time, they've become much more effective. And the Russians really, you know, in the early 80s, really started getting aggressive with this type of technology. And that's when we started seeing snow in Miami, you know, weather patterns, you know, that we've never seen before. Now it's a common occurrence to, for instance, get snow in Mexico. You know, to have it rain in the Arctic in the summer. You know, that's what happens when you push and pull the climate. You're going to have offsets. You're going to have imbalance. So that's the result of geoengineering. Of course, these capitalists, the people who are blowing this CO2 global warming horn, they're saying this is proof of global warming. Well, first of all, that's not scientific at all, okay? It's not.
Right, right.
And it's not proof. It's a theory. And the theory is wrong. You know why it's wrong? Because they're geoengineering, and that's a fact, and we have proof. So to go ahead and tax us, to form global governance, to take away our freedoms, to reduce the population, you know, Africa right now, because geoengineering programs create drought, there are 1,000 children a day, no, I'm sorry, 1,000 children per hour dying of starvation. That starvation is directly related to the drought caused by geoengineering. This is genocide, it's ecocide, and they are just shredding our protective layer, the ozone layer. So this is something that, you know, we definitely need to speak up about.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that people like you, well, you're one of the, really one of the top speakers on this subject. I mean, you really have led the way. And, you know, I talked to G. Edward Griffin last year about it a little bit. And, you know, thank goodness there are some people who are seeing clearly what's going on and who are stepping up to the plate and taking positive steps to inform people, because that really is the first place that we need to go, is people need to have the information and they need to see clearly what the truth is and not be bamboozled by a bunch of propaganda. And that's what's been happening. And I think once the rose-colored glasses come off, we're going to see an amazing transformation, because people will be angry and they'll want to know exactly what to do, and we'll be ready. You know, here's what you do. You know, and knock this thing right off its weird trajectory.
We're doing it, Lance. It's happening. You know, we have people. Lexi Hunter. She has a law background, so she's been putting senators on notice. So there's not just one thing that we can do, but again, to wake people up is the first step. Once you wake people up, that pool that you reach, you know, you reach 100 people, every one of those people have a unique gift and the ability to address this in a specific way. So there are different sectors, you know, there's a legal sector, there's an outreach sector, there's a political sector, you know, and I've been addressing all of them essentially for about 4 years. So I'm hoping to find some people to specialize in certain areas that can, A, help us in a legal sector, B, people who you know the political ropes, who can address this effectively politically, you know, people who are bringing this to the public like myself, other people who can talk, you know, effectively on the radio and get the message out to the masses. And bottom line is this, you know, our corporate mainstream media, they're owned by seven families. Those seven families have a definite interest in creating this global governance. So yeah. That's why they're not bringing the correct information out to the public, and that's why it has been so effective for them to achieve the results in terms of creating global governance or the New World Order, because of the media. So we have to become the media, and we need 1,000 lances beating the drum every day on what I call the media. A lot of people call us the alternative media. We're not the alternative media. We are the real media.
We're the real media, right.
Yeah,
right,
the alternative media is this crap they're putting on, you know, where they're not speaking the truth. They're promoting Monsanto, and they're telling everybody everything's okay except for, you know, the guy that stole, you know, and shot somebody on the south side of Chicago. And yes, as horrible as those things are, there's a much bigger picture. And when people focus on the smaller issues, you know, we're getting our rights, our freedoms taken away at an alarming rate. The Constitution is gone. It's gone. And it's because people believe the media. That's why.
Right.
You know, we had this investigation. I'm not even going to get into 9/11. But, you know, we have these bought and paid for shills that investigate things, and the media is not questioning. And, you know, get away from the TVs. These televisions are terrible. They carry a frequency with them.
Yep.
They and you watch the news, Lance, and what comes on the news, the first 30 seconds, you have lights blinking, you have half zeros spinning each way. Those are hypnotic. And what they do is they put us into a relaxed state, which makes us more susceptible to suggestion.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the ways.
They got that down.
They have it down very effectively. And
absolutely.
People, and I can tell who a TV watcher is within the first 5 seconds of talking to them.
Yeah, me too. And if you might as well not even bother trying to get any information through because of that glazed over, you know, like a jelly donut or something.
I'll tell you
really
what, Lance,
sad.
So it's effective to plant seeds, and I'll tell
why. Of course. Yeah.
When I first started this, after releasing What in the World Are They Spraying, this was a new issue to pretty much everybody, and it was a challenging job because I was getting hundreds of emails in a day, and a lot of people didn't believe it. A lot of people ridiculed me, you know, and I planted seeds. And cognitive dissonance went up with a lot of them. And cognitive dissonance is when something contradicts somebody's belief system, there's a feeling of there's anxiety. And that anxiety causes that person to reject the very truths that they're being confronted with. And that's what was happening. However, I planted the seed. I didn't ridicule anybody for not, you know, getting the issue. And I'll tell you what, I get emails back just about every day, people saying, you know, I was one of those guys that was calling you, you know, a nut job. He goes, now I believe you 100%. How can I help you?
Wow.
And so don't ever think that our work is in vain. Don't ever think it is. And sometimes, you know, as activists, we want to see people wake up right when we tell them. And we want to see them jump on the bandwagon. It's not always like that. But let me tell you something. I've had the opportunity to speak with tens, hundreds of millions of people around this world. And sometimes it's a year after, other times it could be 5 years after. But again, planting that seed is very important. And we talk about, again, this issue of critical mass, and we're probably 1/2 percentage point away. We're very close, and it's a game changer. The dynamics are going to change very quickly. And as a result, we have the ability collectively to address this issue, be effective, block the legislation, and effectively get these programs stopped. But it takes all of us getting involved, getting involved somewhere at some capacity, whether it's, you know, in local government, county government, or, you know, if you get in at the national level. It's very important that we get involved somehow.
Well, Michael, we're just about out of time, and I want to thank you for coming back again and sharing your inspiration with us. And be sure to mention your websites where people can find, you know, the articles and the films and what you're doing.
Absolutely. You can go to my website, whyintheworldarethespraying.com. And, you know, you can, for daily updates, I post on the What in the World Are They Spraying Facebook page. So you can like us on that. But again, whyintheworldarethespraying.com. And there's plenty of information on that. And again, we encourage everybody who orders a DVD to make copies and hand out for free. So I encourage everyone to do that. Lance, I want to thank you for having me on again and for just for covering this issue. It's you know, there are a lot of important issues out there, but based on my research, this one is the most important that we have to address.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Michael. And we'll be talking again, I'm sure.
Yeah, I hope so. Look forward to it again. Always a pleasure.
So that's a wrap. And good night, Michael, and good night, everybody.